Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're honored to be with you again on this Tuesday, August 17, 2021. Yes, we are over the half-point mark for the eighth month of 2021, but yet we move on. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host again, and guess what? We're in open mic format again tonight, so we have some loose conversation to share with you. But nonetheless, it's your time. So if you have a topic or something of on your mind you'd like to share with us, we'll be happy to entertain that. And I'll strive to the best of my ability to respond intelligently to questions and or comments. Facebook, if you're listening, you can give us a call right now at 630-944. If you're listening from the blogtalkradio.com platform, you may also give us a call in the studio right now at 657-383-0944. We have an abbreviated show tonight. We had been going by request, I should say, a few years ago. For 2 hours, but tonight we will be on for an hour and a half. So approximately about 8:30, we'll wrap up our discussion tonight. All right, so get in. Give us a call, 657-383-0944. I'd love to hear from you. I'll begin by highlighting the third annual basketball clinic sponsored by none other than our own Pastor Ricky Waller, who is and has been for some years now our co-host here on Talk Straight, as well as the author of Still High, his first book, and then The Flip Side, his second book. And he's also the founder of the organization that sponsored the camp, New Way Outreach Ministry. If you tuned in with us, I know we changed our time a little bit last Thursday night from our regular 7 o'clock spot. Perhaps we missed some people there, but we did try to announce it in enough time. But nonetheless, we aired live from the basketball camp beginning at 6 p.m. Central Time, and we went to about 7. But nonetheless, had a good time, had an opportunity to engage some good young folks and tie some things down. We actually got a prospective guest for the show to come on with us as well. So That's a very good thing. And so we certainly encourage you to continue to follow us. And if you have a topic of on mind and so something you'd like for us to look at, well, we would love to take consideration of that and get with you and see how we might be able to bring you on. Now, I do know that Ms. Lanice Campbell is one of our previous guests, and she's a health promoter, and she has a very serious topic that I hope that she's working to see if she can get some of her panel on. There's going to be a panel discussion on African-American male cancer, issues related to cancer for African-American males, which is a very, very, very important thing, you know. Two things that we tend not to do, collectively speaking, in the Afro-male subgroup, and that is to have our prostate checked regularly, as well as the colon. And those are two major forms of colon cancer, in addition to some of the others. So that's a very, very important thing that I know will be helpful, speaking myself as someone who's concerned about that. So I hope to have more information on that. I won't speak too much because I don't have details, but we'll share more of that. So perhaps we'll be able to hear from her in the near future. That will be next month sometime, though. But nonetheless, we had another young lady who has her own podcast, Miss Eugenia, and we're looking forward to having her come on. That's some very interesting concepts and information. So we'd love to have you. Again, send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. If you have a topic or a thought or something you'd like for us to look at, I'd love to engage you. You can send me an email again at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. I'll be happy again to respond there. But tonight, right now, as a matter of fact, right now, you can give me a call here in the live studio at 657-383-0944. Hope you can join us. Hope you can join us tonight in our discussion. It's open mic. It's open mic, so it's not all on me. It's not all on me. Some of it's on you. I know there are some current events that are going on, and in my day-to-day discussion with people, it seems as though people are still a little bit anxious, perhaps on edge, at the continuous flow of information, involvement of the health profession and the government and issues related to public schools and our children, this divide that seemed to have been created in result of some of the shutdowns and mandates and things of that nature. Good people on both sides, right? Those who really feel like you've got to just do whatever, those who we trust to do right by us in terms of the health of the nation tell us. And that's important. It's important to have a healthy and a reasonable confidence in those who have committed their life to science. We've had many great advances in medical science, you know, because people have dedicated their lives. That's what they did. Many would have called them nerds, you know. So we definitely want to maintain a healthy respect. However, at the same time, there must be some sort of balance between people opportunity and their rights to weigh all those things. I think in the end, we all can do better and we can do well if we did that. So we certainly want to give ear and strong consideration to your personal doctor, your physician, if you have one. And if you don't, I encourage you to get one, right? And have them explain those things to you, you know, in detail. I have two young adults who are living on their own, and encourage them to where they are and where they go to, you know, be responsible and be considerate and what have you. This thing with wearing a mask as a pastor, we interact with a lot of people. As an agency owner, we interact with a lot of people, insurance agents, as a businessman. And I respect the fact that some people are most comfortable when you wear a mask. If that makes you comfortable, okay. Not the most comfortable thing for me, not something that personally I have a tremendous interest in, but I do that out of respect and consideration for others. So, again, moving forward, I believe that that will help. But there are some things that, beloved, I believe we're overlooking. Yeah. That have been going on long before concerns about wearing masks, staying in the house, and social distance. When you look at, we talked about this last week on last Tuesday, when you look at what is happening with the digital divide and the disparity in education, I guess for me, in my background, my occupation, I've seen more young people wind up in the criminal justice system and on the negative end of things than I care to. I guess when you're at the forefront of those things, it makes sometimes it seem like everybody deal with it. And that's not it. There's some young people doing some great things, doing some productive things, doing some positive things. Let's make that point. But my heart goes out for those who get caught up in the dragnet, I'm going to call it. And I'm always asking what can be done to address their needs, to turn them around. And reality is I've had to learn. I've been pastoring now almost 27 years, and I've had to learn that, doctor, you can't make nobody be saved, or you can't make nobody do right. Your job is to provide information for people to make that decision themselves, not for you to make them do right. And what happens is, you know, you find yourself asking the question, well, dang, because I care, what can I do at least to try to keep them safe, right? But that's up to people. We look like we had someone join us there on Facebook. Feel free to come on. Get back with us. 657, the number calling into the studio, 657-383-0944. It's your time. I want to hear from you. Any topic you'd like to bring up, we'll do our best to address it. Whoever that was on Facebook that shot us in, get back with me here and let everybody know. And and get in here, right? So, all right. Okay. So let's go ahead and post that there. All right, good. So thank you, Facebook, for those of you that are following us. We appreciate you. You're welcome to give us a call. I welcome you to give us a call. 657-383-0944 tonight. That is the number to call and we'd be happy to entertain your questions. You could post your questions in or comments in the Facebook thread as well. Those of you that are following us live on Facebook will be happy to entertain your question and or comment there. Nonetheless, we were talking about the desire to really be there for, guide, and redirect wayward young minds in particular. I know some people say, what about the old people? Well, we love you too. We're not going to forget about you. But I think you would agree with me when I say the best chance of turning things around is for the younger population that we can reach. And to understand the triggering events or the search or the motivational drive for them to go wrong or to be in error is very, very important. And for me, we spend a good deal of our life, we talk about people in the health sciences and medical sciences and professions, spend their time researching. Well, most of my time has been over the last 30 years or so, have been researching as a social scientist and as an educator, as a nonprofit founder and director, as a business owner, as a father, as a pastor for the last going to be 27 years. I spent a good deal of my time seeking to understand people and what motivates people to do good things, and also what motivates people to do not so good things, right? More importantly, for those who are desirous of improving their life after making a mistake or misstep, how do you best encourage, support, and motivate them to move on further in life? So that's where we come from. But don't want it to be about me so much tonight as it is you, our listening audience. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And hopefully Pastor Waller can join us here. The number to call us here in the live studio tonight is open mic. So the difference in open mic format, and I'll get to that number in just a second. The difference in open mic, when you hear me say open mic, is that normally I have a topic. With the topic, I give a monologue that provides context for things that we're going to be discussing over the time of the show. And it gives us a point of reference to come back to, essentially, because after that, we open up the phone lines for your rebuttal, your comments, your ideas, and your thoughts, and what have you. And we share that dialogue. If you would like, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute, and you can click on there and find some of the over now, wow, I can't believe it, close to 500 episodes since we began in 2016. But our open mic formats are minus that monologue as we are tonight, and we just open up the airways for you to call in. And again, that number to call in is 657-383-0944. I don't hold any particular, I hold a position, let me say that, right? And I'm open, though, to hearing, because that's the only way I learn. It's the only way you learn is that we hear one another. So I'm open to hearing your thoughts and your ideas. We may not necessarily agree on everything. Some things we can agree to disagree on. But I think one thing we can agree on, over the last 5 years going on now, we focus our attention on a certain population, a segment of our nation, and that's those in urban American experience that are challenged, at risk, young folk, particularly Afro-American males across urban American cities. Many of them are major urban cities that have a static issue. And by that I mean a non-changing condition that's been in the same place for a long period of time. Tuesday we talked about the concept of a longitudinal study where you observe patterns in a short period of time as well as over a long period of time, and you understand the forces, the driving forces behind it. And you study those things in order to offer solutions, or to offer answers. Now, everybody's not looking for an answer. You know, everybody don't want to change. And guess what? That's their right. That's their right if they don't want to change. And then you can't. Doctor, you can't make them. As human beings, there are some things that are common to us all, irregardless to what our feelings, our thoughts, our inclinations are. If you cut me, 10 times out of 10, I'm going to say, ouch, unless there's something wrong with me where I can't feel it. I don't have a sensation to feel it, right? And whether I say ouch or not, when you break that skin, when you puncture it, I'm going to have some stuff come out, some substance called blood. And it's going to bleed the same way whether I call myself black, I'm going to call myself white, Hispanic, Asian, or anything else, right? If I identify myself as a member of an organization or of a group or a particular class, we're still underneath the same. You got feelings. You got emotions. Again, as I said earlier, we may not all agree on everything, but there are some things when we're under the right condition, we'll come together. That's the beauty about America, is that there have been many experiences where people have been tried and been tested and challenged, and it brought out the best in people. Some of the hardcore folk, criminals even, found a way to come together and show regard for others. So, I mean, interesting thing. What we're seeing around the nation now, conversion of splintered thoughts and what have you, it seems to me it's trying to formalize itself into some form of group or movement or organization, or philosophy perhaps, but it's still very splintered, and it challenges basically what we have come to know as being normal, appropriate, and acceptable behavior. See? And we previously talked about prescriptive norm and proscriptive norms in society. I might just briefly, proscriptive are those that are mostly germane to your little small social group, what everybody do around you, whereas prescriptive norms are those that are prescribed by law for everybody that have the individual little subgroup that make up the whole. When you think about the study of sociology, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at various social groups that make up one society, how they interact with one another, the drives and motivations for them. So having said that, it's open mic night. I want to hear from you. I'd like to hear from you. Give me a call. 657-383-0944. Go ahead. 657-383-0944. I'd be happy to entertain you. Here's your thoughts, and we still got a little time here. Got about a little bit over an hour that we can chat. So I encourage you again to give us a call here. Regular listeners, hopefully they can join us. I know people work and people have lives and so forth. But as a host and a producer, we strive to honor those who have called and kept up with this and who benefit from our dialogue and our communication. So we've been doing our level best to keep things open here, communication, the channels of communication, keep the show going. So, and we'll, as much as we can, we'll continue to do that, to do just that. But again, you're listening to Talk Straight. If you're just tuning in, this is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And we have been, tonight, the floor is open for your discussion, your thoughts, your ideas. Perhaps you have some questions for me. I'm open to attempting to answer them to the best of my ability. Perhaps you have a thought that you'd like to share with our listening audience. I'll be happy to share that with you. Either post that in the Facebook group there. Post your question. You don't necessarily have to identify yourself. That's all right. But if you want to, what we do when we bring you in the studio is I will refer to you by your first three numbers of your phone number, your area code, and the last four digits of that phone number. And identify you as a call in that fashion. You're welcome to identify yourself further as you see fit. That's been our format, and we will honor that continuously. So no pressure, no pressure. You're listening to Talk Straight. Talk Straight. I mean, call it Talk Straight, but that's what we strive to do, to talk straight about the issues. Now, in the past, some have took issue with the realistic approach to identifying certain behaviors. I want to emphasize that. The realistic approach to identifying, calling out certain behaviors, not necessarily people, but behaviors. That's what we want to change, is the behaviors that people display. Well, I should say that's what we would like to see change. When those behaviors conflict with the norms and with being able to get along with other people, those behaviors need to be changed and be modified so that you don't have conflict, you see. And, well, where does conflict come from, doctrine? So basically, when you have a situation where you have something that goes against what is acceptable, what is normal or normalized among the group of people, that's the come, that's the against. And the flick is the problem that comes with it. See? There are people who, in their socialization from birth, have not learned how to get along with other folks, tend to have a limited knowledge base of communication, such that it's difficult for them to communicate themselves without feeling strange or unusual or unhappy, you know. And so at the end of the day, what we try to do is to help people understand that it's okay if you don't know something or you're uncomfortable. That's all right. All of us do that, right? But the thing is, when you want to learn to improve yourself, you can get somewhere. We got a call on from 904-8902. Welcome, caller. It's open mic on Talk Straight.
Well, hello there.
Hey, she keep on pulling this fast Eddie on me.
Ain't no fast Eddie. Anytime you see this number, this 3072 is who it is.
3072. Yes, ma'am. Yes. All right.
Yeah. So, hey, what were you guys just talking about?
No, it's open mic. It's open mic. So I was just, some might say, doctor was rambling, but it's open mic. So what's on your mind? What you going to put on down there in Jacksonville?
The only thing on my mind is our state of health here and this variant that's running rampant.
Okay.
And, you know, the calls for concern and things to be shut back down, maybe temporarily again, but
is that what they're moving towards?
Who knows? Yeah, we have a lot of children getting sick, trying to go back to school, you know, and hey, that's about it.
You know, we have a similar issue here, and the governor just, I think the other day, signed a executive order that basically took the position that we won't say that the school system cannot have a mask mandate, but parents have a choice as to whether or not they want to opt out of it. And so it's pretty much in effect what it did was to get rid of the mandate. You know what I mean? I'm hoping, though, 72, that at least that brings parents and school officials and teachers closer to having substantive conversation about.
Well, I think that conversation is needed, and to me personally, and again, my grandchildren are homeschooled, but if I had children in the public schools, I would be all for them masking up. For one, it's keeping them protected, and two, it's keeping other people. I mean, what's the big deal? We rushed and wanted the children to go back to school. Now, when safety and health is involved, what is another argument? Like, what really is going on?
So, if I might, I've been reading myself, and I don't know if I would call it an argument, but there's another side to the veracity or effectiveness of masks in terms of stopping the transmission of disease. And there's just not enough evidence or research to concretely say putting a mask on a child. Now, one of the things we know that it does is it does affect the breathing of the child and their respiratory abilities, right?
And so does the variant. So does the variant when the kids get it.
Say that again.
So does the disease.
Yeah, so, and that's the thing about that, too, what preliminarily. Now, here's the thing. It's not enough information about coronavirus that we were introduced to, coronavirus 19. We haven't had what you traditionally have in science, 3 years of observation and things of that nature. So there's some things they're still learning, understandably.
I understand that, but there are some things, too, that is evident that we're seeing keep being replayed over and over again, which is here, and I can only speak for here, but the surge of the virus surfacing again. So with that being said, with limited research, evidence, and everything else, all we could do is go with, you know, make an educated decision and do the best we can and hope for the best. But I don't think personally that that's doing the best we can is everybody just running around unmasked like nothing is happening. Nobody's getting sick and the hospitals aren't overrun here again.
So I'm just, okay, all right. You realize that there are people who believe that there's nothing to be, there's nothing to be afraid of in terms
mm-hmm.
of this.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that. And you realize mm-hmm. that there are people who believe that just like a common cold, if you find traces of certain things, that particularly for children, that is the extent of the threat and that there's no evidence otherwise that suggests that. Now, there are people dying, don't get me wrong. And I understand
I know,
people,
personally, yeah.
And, and I understand that there are people whose deaths have been associated with COVID. I get that. I'm not. I don't want to give the impression that I see that and realize that. But at the same time, my wife is a health professional, and I was just asking her where are the researchers and health professionals relative to the flu. And some of the measures mm-hmm. they were taking to deal with flu, it doesn't mm-hmm. seem like there's a whole lot about that. Almost as if COVID is taking the place of the concerns about flu. And with that came certain practices, certain behaviors, you know, mm-hmm. that they were mm-hmm. trying to keep public. I wonder if mm-hmm. if that would be helpful to have those kind of discussions. What do you think?
If what?
If it would be helpful to have discussions about some of the behaviors, just like when the flu, you're familiar with the flu virus. Coronavirus is
more than familiar. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so the focus of health professionals was to get people to wash their hands regularly, not touch certain things, and keep children from putting their mouth on things and all that type of stuff.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think the difference with the flu and washing your hands and not putting your mouth on things, again, with COVID, it's airborne. It's in the air that you breathe in. It's particles, you know, small mites. Right.
Okay. So is that what they're saying? Now, because initially they were saying it was not airborne. But so as they said,
it's proven now, again, which is why the masks are asked to be worn, that it is, and it's in the air, right? So you breathing this in a room with somebody, or you're passing somebody in the supermarket, or children are in a classroom, and yes, it's airborne. I mean,
okay, all right. We have Pastor Waller joining us. Pastor Waller, I hear you in the background there. Sounds like you are in your regular spot.
Yeah, I'm on the street, man. How you doing? Yeah, I'm good, how you doing, Dr. Doctor?
All right, great.
Sounds like I hear 37-2.
Ricky, MC, hello.
Hello, how you doing now?
Oh, we're doing great. We're doing great.
That's good. That's real good.
So it's just open mic night. Yes, it's open mic night, and 72 was just sharing some of her concerns about down in her way and Jacksonville, the concern there, apparently according to her, I don't want to speak to her, is that, you know, with the variant and the spreading of it and the challenge with children in schools and what have you. But that's what we were just talking. But it's open mic, so the floor is open. And let me take this general audience, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. That's the number to call in. And get with us. We'd love to hear from you. We got Pastor Wall on. I may mention, I haven't left you in 72. Back to you.
Uh-huh.
But Pastor Wall, I mentioned earlier in the show that about the basketball camp. And I did want to make room for you to talk about that, some of the highlights and things of that nature. So we'll give 72 a chance to wrap up our conversation. And then if you don't mind, I'll come back to you and hear some of the highlights. I know we had some young ladies out there this time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, man. I think it was all right. You had to go ahead and let her talk, man. I was on my way to another meeting here, and I know I was going to run in and run back out. But in the meantime, I'll take what you were saying, man. That 3072 is what you were talking about.
Okay.
Well, I am finished. I just hope that everybody will be cautious and, you know, not make this a political thing and make it what it is, a health issue. And, we just need to do the best we can and make the most educated decisions that we know. Try to stay safe and keep others safe.
All right. Well, okay then. Pastor, if you had to go, I understand, we're joined by 4600 out of St. Louis, 314-4600, and it's open mic night tonight, sir. So we're open the floor to general discussion. And we were just talking about some of the challenges that were shared from the perspective of Colin Jacksonville with the variant and the schools opening and so that makes and she's where
well, you
we,
know,
we can move on if you have something.
I hope that parents don't let school districts make them do what they don't want to do. That board was elected by you, the parents, and you should de-elect them. Go to your state legislature, if you don't already have it, and seek out the power to recall school board members. Another thing, contact your state auditor and ask them how many signatures you need on a petition to bring about an audit of the school district. You can audit the fire department, city hall, police department. So you got to push back on them when they try to make you do something that you're not wanting to do. They are the employees. You are the boss. And making your kids wear a mask, if you don't want your children to wear a mask, that's your business. That's your child. Is that right, Ruben?
Well, I think that the parent does have a right to, as the custodial authority over their children, they have that right. Now, when you send your child to the public school, there's a concept called in loco parentis, which means that the teacher, the principal, the social worker serves in the place of the parent. That doesn't mean the parent loses their custodial authority. But while they're there with them, they have that. And I think that's what they exercise. But there's case law, though. There's case law, as I understand it, that's well established that the parent has first that choice and say, even though by statutory requirements, children have to go to public schools. That's the unless they pull them out and put them in a private school or home school or something of that nature. So that's but that's one of the challenges though.
But I tell you what I find, though. And I find it interesting that more and more now, some parents that y'all know last year, part of what I was doing was working to educate parents about their parental rights and options beyond the traditional public school education. And it's interesting to me that the conversation around here anyway, in Nashville, the chatter is, and I hear that all over the country, parents are now saying, you know what? We probably were just a little too quiet and a little too trusting with officials about what they were doing, what they were teaching, and what sort of things that were going on, you know. And I appreciate what 72 was saying about not wanting things to be political, but unfortunately, I'm concerned that the media and others have made it that way already. It's that way, and I hope that there's some communication, some calm to come out of it. Because at the end of the day, what bothers me, you all, is the fact that when we look at these test scores, man, it doesn't look good for particularly African-American children who were already behind in proficiency before schools were shut down for whatever reason, right? Now we're coming back, and it's just one excuse after another to threaten forward progress. We need to be focused on teaching these babies how to read, how to write, how to do math, how to be able to function in society. That's important. And I don't see no Go ahead.
If that were important to some people, I mean, it looked like, again, if it were me and that were important to me, that I would do all that I can to make sure that that is that happens by, okay, then if how we can reach this goal or objective is to mask our children and the teachers up again so that they can be in that environment where they get the best learning for whatever reason, which is sad. Again, it should be at home. But if that's at school, okay, then I would be on board with trying to do whatever we can do so that the kids can be, like you were saying, brought back up to par and get back on track to where they need to be instead of bickering and arguing whether, oh, my child a mask on or not, or this and that.
Well, I don't think it was the parents that started that argument, though, 72. I do think that there were political elements that used COVID as a cover to do certain things, right? And this is just this is just as an objective observer. I've been living, and I've been watching. I've been reading and keeping up with different things, and so the reality is
me likewise,
And I hope and pray that reasonable people say, okay, now, at the end of the day, the public schools are not, it can't take one side, just kind of like religion. One of the Lemon Laws prohibits public schools from advancing or supporting or upholding any particular religion because they understand that people come from various experience and have the right to express their things.
That's
They're similarly when it comes to the health of a child and things related to that. That right didn't leave you. That didn't leave the parents, right, for their children. And again, there are a lot of different, I think largely misinformation was spread via media on both sides. And that's one of the reasons why people are just saying, you know what, that's just a bunch of mess. I ain't fooling with it.
Again, like me, here's me. So I have to mask up. I have to put goggles on. I have to put a face shield. I have to do whatever I can do, for one, to make sure the patients are healthy and they get the treatments that they need, and two, to protect myself and my family. So what issue do I have with that outside of it being uncomfortable? It's uncomfortable as I don't know what. Yes. It's hot. It's hard to breathe. But again, I have to do whatever I can do, again, for the overall good of the patient and myself. There's no politics involved when it comes to, I mean, the health and the good of the people and the patients.
I get what you're saying.
The kids, even in the public school sector. I mean, come on.
Well, that's, if I might, that's what I want. I want to bring to your attention the difference in a public school and
do
the
it every day.
Well, hold on. And the environment in which you work. You work in an environment where you know that there are sickness, all sorts of sickness for different reasons. And it seems to me that that makes perfectly good sense. When they go into a emergency room, right, to do surgery, they've been masking up for I don't know how long because of the nature of the environment. There's a
not in the emergency room, in the surgical setting, yes. But in the emergency room, it's just the emergency room.
I think you're missing what I'm talking about when they go to do surgery, when doctors perform
surgery. Yeah, sure. That's right. That's absolute right. Mm-hmm.
All right, listen to what I'm saying. And even at that, the hospital tend to be more sterile on a regular basis in terms of keeping it clean and what have you. The better hospitals, at least anyway. You can smell it mm-hmm. when you walk in. My point is that because there's a difference in that environment and in a
mm-hmm.
public school. Now, interestingly enough, public schools historically have always been a place. That's one of the things they call herd immunity, where the argument for children going to public school was that at least they will learn to build up their immunity with their peers, right? So when they go out in other social settings, their immune system is not so much weaker. Because in public schools, children bring everything from home and wherever they are to the public schools. And so, yes, there is a concern about the health and safety there. But what's brought into question now, though, unfortunately, are the back and forth, the flipping and the flopping and the political element of things in the discourse over the last year or so. And I think if that were not the case, things would be different. You know, my son was one of those who was a senior in college when he came home for spring break and was told that you're not coming back to school, and he never went back. In fact, his graduation was 15 seconds face across the screen. He got his diploma. But the point is that, yes, there are a lot of things that are factors here. So, and I think reasonable people can work through it, though. We shouldn't allow the media or politicians or health professionals who are playing as politicians to guide dialogue and discourse. Let the people have that honest conversation with one another. And I think you can get to where we need to be. So.
Nice.
But, Pastor Wally, you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Why don't we go ahead and take time to give us highlights right quick. St. Louis, we're in open mic setting, so feel free to jump in here. Pastor, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the highlights from the clinic there, the basketball thing. One of the biggest things I saw was that there was a young lady out there hooping, and she got down.
She was doing it, man. I got some clips of them, you know. I just want to say, God is an awesome God, man, for allowing to be able to be carried out, you know, after hearing about how it's going to rain and things like that. But we was able to make it through the first night, and it was a great opportunity to watch the kids and listen to what they were saying and listen to what they were doing and see all the
mm-hmm.
things that they desire in their heart, which I found
mm-hmm.
out they have a hunger and a thirst for change, not just basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
after I
right.
was teaching them some fundamentals and things like that, after it was over with, I asked them questions, and they was able to tap right into the questions, man. And so it made it all worth it. In other words, they said, very sympathetic. And here's a couple of things I like to say, if you don't mind. And one of them is, that there's a guy by the name of Pastor Dockery was out there on Thursday, and, you know, we had
yeah.
this podcast on the ground. And so I always make sure everybody, before they leave, they have to shoot a shot. And they have to hit one shot before they leave, you know. And so everybody was shooting, they were scuffling and everything, trying to hit a shot. And so Pastor Dockery came on later on. And then, you know, I know guys were taking three or four times before they hit a shot, maybe five or six times. But there's a guy named Pastor Doc that hit his first shot from the three-point line. First shot.
So Pastor Wilder wasn't no alley oops up in his face or nothing?
No. Everybody's in his head. Nobody has to be on him or nothing. Just, look at this. And everybody was shocked because, you know, and his little nephew, he came over there. He said, I've been his nephew for 28 years. I ain't never seen him do nothing like that. So it was a joy. And it was a lot of love. It was a lot of peace, you know, and they're still seeking more. And so it worked out. I just wanted to let it be known that it was a great event. And I just think I love the hunger and the thirst that the kids had.
Absolutely.
And had some prizes and giveaways.
Yeah.
So it was really, really a great thing for me.
I didn't get my best of all the t-shirt this time, man. What's up with that? Why didn't you get my stuff? I had a conversation with one young man, and he had some younger siblings out there, and it was really a good thing because we talked a lot about some of the, you know, the bad behavior.
I'm going to cut out.
Okay. Right. We talk about that a lot. But this young man held some very intellectual, stimulating conversations. Mm-hmm. And Kim Ball talked about how
was there an age limit or age, how old were the children?
Pastor, what was your youngest age this year? I know we had a 9-year-old out there last year. What was the youngest age?
Okay.
Can you hear me,
Pastor? Land, okay. What'd you say, Pastor? Okay. What's
that? She was asking what was the youngest age. Can you hear me, Pastor?
You said what was the youngest age? 4 years old.
Yes, she was asking.
Four years old. Wow.
Was there? I didn't know that. Okay. We lost her. Right? We dropped. But okay.
That's impressive, though.
It was a good time, and what it showed me, though, is, you know, I focus on academia and academics. By far, those skill sets are going to take you much further. It was an excellent opportunity, though, for individuals to demonstrate discipline, and that's generally what's associated with athletics. I think I've heard St. Louis talk about some of the practice, right? Practice.
Mm-hmm.
And things of that nature that make good, and so there were a lot of lessons to be learned there, and the young men were respectful, and we had some other gentlemen from around town who worked with programs that came out, and they poured into them as well. There, we got Pastor Wong back.
Yes, Pastor.
So,
my phone cut off. But the youngest kid was 4 years old, man. You know, that's the youngest to come out. And then I got a lot of, you know, a little clips where I was spinning the ball and they was able to hold it on a key. And, you know, it was pretty good, man. I just enjoyed seeing the fun that they had and the hunger, you know, and the thirst to be able to learn some things. And so it came out. I was joyful about it. It drained me for 3 days, but it was all worth it.
The first day it rained, but we stuck it out and we got through it, and it rained. The other days it was intermittent, though, so it came and left and whatnot.
Right.
And I'm sure that when the basketball court is not the best to play on when it's been damp and whatnot, but it was all right. It worked out. It was all right, but
appreciate all the moral support. Appreciate the prayer.
Say that again, Pastor.
Appreciate the prayers from everybody and the moral support. I was going to run into this meeting right quick, and then I'm going to have to get off the land for a minute, and I'll get
okay,
back
go
and
right
still
ahead.
Home. Okay.
Go right okay. ahead. All right, we're going to end at 8:30 tonight. All the same, but thank you. We appreciate it, sir. We'll be in touch with you.
Okay, so I can get back before then, I will.
Sounds good. So,
okay. All right.
It's open mic night, and your listeners talk straight, and we still have time if you have a thought or something else that you'd like to speak about here on Talk Straight. Let's talk straight, and I'll do my best to try to give the most intelligible answer I can
and response there. St. Louis, is there anything else in particular, sir, that's going on in your area that is of concern to you?
No, the headlines is how your Joe Jim Crow Biden has messed up Afghanistan.
Oh, man, that was something to see that, man. That was really something to see all those folks.
But I think what happened.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think what happened. See, Trump had negotiated with the Taliban.
Okay.
To for them to sit down and come to agreement with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And he had drawn the troops down, turned the defense over to Afghanistan military.
Mm-hmm.
But see, Afghanistan military have never took due diligence like they should. And some people say that they are already part of the Taliban. And then I think someone tipped off the crowd, the public, to call them to bum rush the airport and everything else.
Mm. 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 Yeah.
That's what
I
believe.
I'm one of those, I'm in the camp of those who felt as though trying to nation build over there was not the best goal from the get-go. You know, if you had to
well,
go
they
get
weren't
a
trying to nation. They weren't trying to nation build. They initially went there to hunt down those who was involved with 9/11.
Okay. Did that happen?
Probably some of them. Yeah, they killed
Did
a bunch of them.
Okay. And so shouldn't we have come back home then?
Well, they probably entered an agreement to train the troops of the Afghan soldiers so that they could defend their own country.
Well,
now, I don't think
I
it should have took 20 years.
Okay, okay. Because I thought from the beginning, St. Louis, the mission was to go and get those who were responsible for hitting America on September 11, 2001. I thought that was the mission. Not to go over there. And
well, they killed a lot of them. Trump killed one that had been planning attacks on America going back a decade or more.
Gotcha.
He killed
them
with a drone.
Yes, sir. What I'm saying, though, what I'm saying is I thought initially, early on, this was under President Bush now. See, this is spanned over several presidents now. Bush, Obama, Trump, and now Biden. So, and I thought the original mission, that's what they said now, was go there and take care of business. And I always wonder why we went into Iraq. But that's, you know, that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story. I appreciate the men and women that serve, you know what I mean? But the decision of some of these folks and the money that was spent, I'm hearing that upward of $1 trillion plus was spent over the last 20 years in that venture over there. For what? And the loss of life? And you understand what I'm saying? But it is what it is.
Well, when you go to war, you go there to kill and tear up stuff.
I guess that's what they train them to do. Isn't it?
And I would have told Afghanistan to tell your citizens to get the heck out of there because we're going to start bombing. But what happened these daggone Taliban, they just blend right on in with the crowd.
Yeah, you know that 1925 treaty, it kind of put the hold on you just going in there and just bombing everything because you don't want to bomb the wrong people, right? You want
to
make sure
that's why you
humane.
Tell the government to get the people out of there. That's what I would do.
Well,
I don't know what the,
they tell
all
me
kind
the,
of things.
The head of the government fled. He fled. He left. He cut out.
Well, I don't blame him.
You
would have had to face the same thing Gaddafi faced, huh?
Let me ask this question. Yeah, that's right. Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein. Absolutely. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that even that issue is a major distraction from some domestic things we need to be focusing on here in America?
Well, that needed to happen anyway.
Okay.
The things here that need to be focused here in America is to stop bringing these illegals in and insert them into Democratic depleted districts where they can be used as apportionment to create a new district or show up a district.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, my wife and I were watching that, and she was a little stunned. That's the first time she had seen it.
They literally walking in, nobody stopped them. And what they found was there were a number of other nations who made their way to places like Guatemala and Mexico just so they can come in through that weak, porous border. And we don't know who's who or what's what. You understand what I'm saying? But now, aren't there other issues, though, that we need to be? And let me just be specific. Let me stop beating around the bush. Aren't there some things that Negro, Black, and color folk need to be concerned about that we've been letting go for too long and our children have been the negative benefactors of? I mean, shouldn't we be focused on something else? Like,
I think you should be focused on educating your children.
There you go.
Far more than anything else. Oh, black children is not being educated.
No, sir. By and large.
By and large. American children. I ain't talking about other blacks, because they children are doing very well. But black American children are not doing very well. No matter, seemingly they have this problem, no matter what the situation they're sitting in.
That's what I'm talking about. I had to stop one day, 3072, to take my bullhorn and stand in the middle of Broadway and ask, where is the protest?
Mm-hmm.
All these children that are failing. You understand what I'm saying? Some of them are going to drop out.
Yeah.
They're big enough now to make the decision to forget school. You understand what I'm saying? And that's been happening already. Now there's reason for them to just say, it's all a farce, it's a game. That's why I got to take my bullhorn down there and make some noise down the middle downtown in the city. But I'm just saying. I know St. Louis, I was looking at some of the, I was watching NAEP scores, and your schools didn't look too good either there. Florida had more schools that, because they kept their schools open longer during the year. But some of those scores in good, St. Louis, for your area, for Nashville, for areas of Kentucky, of course, Chicago, Cleveland schools. It's rough. California, it looks bad, man. Don't look good at all.
I think it's rough for a lot of people. I was just talking to a coworker today whose daughter has suffered an accident, and she's going to be okay. But anyway, she has small children, and now the children are having to rely on the grandmom who was quoted saying, I look really stupid last night trying to help them with their homework. Because she was getting it right. Like, okay, stuff is different. And like you said, if they're not educated enough they don't know the stuff that the kids are learning even, which is even more why there's a tougher fight for the kids to remain in school. But do you want them to remain in school, or do you want them sick, or do you want them dead, or, the struggle continues.
I hear what you're saying. I'm not so sure, this is personal, but I'm not so sure that there's enough alarm for me to be concerned about them dying. I would rather, Now, if we need to do some things to sterilize school, that's fine. But I'm not the babies anyway. That's the issue.
Well, I'm not even just so much talking about the schools, because the kids are, like you said, some of them are just walking away with the sniffles, but the grandmas or the aunties or the mothers or fathers are the ones that's getting terminally ill. And
okay,
not recovering.
Always, I see what you're saying. There are always, mitigating circumstances or things that are surrounding. I get that. I'm not trying to speak to any of those in particular. However, in general, I'm saying that children are resilient. And with the concept of herd immunity, the more they're there, the stronger all of their systems can become. We've seen that pattern over the years. We have evidence.
We have to worry about the adults that are supposed to be there in place to,
Okay. I'm of this tack now. We're in a dire scrape right now, and the babies need to learn. If you can't do it, let's get somebody that can. You know what I mean? Now, here's a case that's been made, 72. Then, if those adults in the system
are that concerned, then allow those parents to take the per-pupil spending. It's three tiers of funding. Federal government provides a certain percentage, about 15%. The state provides about 24 to 25% typically. But the larger base of your funding for public schools is your local tax base and your municipality, right? The case can be made now that parents should be able to take all of that money and their child and go to a place where people are not worried about teaching them for any reason. What about that?
Oh, okay. What about that? Kidding. That's quite interesting. That is interesting. Where the money going to out-talk your, yeah, okay.
Do you think that would change some attitudes on part of some adults in the public school system?
I know that money changes anything and anybody.
What?
Again, but it just depends on who you're talking about.
Ah.
So, but yeah. But yeah, that's another situation. That's another.
Okay. Let me know what you're saying. What do you think about that, St. Louis? Is there a case to be made now in the last year and a half or so for parents to be able to take the per-pupil spending and pick their child to some school or some setting that they think is most appropriate for their learning or their instruction?
Well, it's like this. What party don't like that? Which political party?
Hold on. I get that. I get that. I get what you're saying. And but if you will, let me stay with the parent, though.
The parent may want, but you got that obstacle. And like I say, what political party don't like that?
Well, let me show you this. Let me tell you why I said this. Because the governor here in Tennessee, they wanted some lawmakers wanted him to call a special session so that the legislators can vote in basically a ban on certain restrictions, particularly in schools. Well, he said, no, I'm not going to do that, but what I'm going to do is through executive fiat. He had an order out there he signed the other day that said, this fiat says that parents have the option and the choice, and whatever school that have a mask mandate, to opt out of following that mandate. In effect, what it did was to nullify the mandate, really, right? Because what we've seen is the number go up and people file petitions and say, I'm opting out of that. So I'm just saying.
Well, I was talking about school choice.
Okay. Well, and that's
what party don't like school choice?
Well, we know that traditionally, what we've seen, the evidence is that the Democratic Party or what is said to be more liberal policies, people with a liberal policy, they typically don't like that. That's what. Historically, that's been the case.
They don't like that. I wonder why. Wonder why come there and want your child to go to an environment where they're going to be challenged and better prepared, whereas they can go after the high, hard degrees that pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a family that's in a higher income class, what mm-hmm. party do you think they're going to stay away from?
Say that again.
I say a family that's in a higher income class. Well, you got a family that's bringing in over $100,000 a year. What party do you think they're going to be supporting?
Now, you tell me, what part do you think?
That ain't nothing.
They're not going to support the Democrats.
Okay. So let me do this. If we could, for a second, take out Democrat Republican, and let's talk about the mere right and control that a parent could and should have relative to their children's education.
Mm-hmm.
And given the circumstances where we are right now, where there are people who are still today banging the drums about closing schools because of concerns about health and what have you,
if those parents wanted to take the per pupil spending for this academic school year and either hire private tutors or put their child in the private school, start their own school, should they be able to do that based on the circumstances? That's what I'm saying.
Well, so when they're voted, when they are surveyed and polled in the 70 percentile, they say they want school choice with vouchers.
Okay. Okay. I've seen that.
So,
I've done some of that research.
So why come they don't have it? It's because their political party that they support all the time don't want them to have it. And also some of those Vanguard organizations like NAACP.
It's no secret that I'm all for school choice. I also believe that there are some excellent models in public schools. Unfortunately, there's not enough equity in terms of those models benefiting everybody. That's the problem. That's the real problem. The accountability overall is not there. That's the primary issue. I know personally, I'm used to teaching the public. I know some teachers, man, their heart is there, and they are excellent teachers, but their hands are tied by the politicization of education that is affected nationally. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yes, I understand, because they make money off those kids.
Absolutely.
That's determinant of what amount of money comes into the building, i.e. the school district.
Sure.
That money is used for salaries in particular.
Right.
I think 70% of every dollar goes towards salary.
It's no fact that upward of $300 billion every year, it's probably a little bit more now, is spent in the public education sector nationally. That's a lot of money.
Now.
That's a whole lot of money.
Right. So now, if your child cannot be challenged to the greatest extent, then they're going to start falling short.
Absolutely.
Go to college. If you go to college, you can't do the work. You're going to have to stay there longer.
Sure.
That's why they make the criteria for historical black colleges in 6 years rather than four. If you got to go 6 years, what does that do to your tuition? You paying 50% more.
Yeah, that's true, because you have two more additional years. Well, now, so here's one of the things I've been thinking for a little while, and I think 72 is aware of this, and that is a role that your local churches can play in being satellite, tutorial satellites, not only through the school year, but over the summer, right? And they can help bolster or increase the retention of information that's taught in the classroom. But that requires grown people to be in agreement. That requires teachers and pastors and parents and community advocates and voices like that to be in agreement. That seems to be the real problem, that there's a lot of breakdown in communication. That has been what can be done about that 72? Is there anything that can be done to increase that dialogue, that communication among grown people now? 72? You there, 37?
I'm here with you. I'm trying to think of what could be done other than, you know, an individual staying alert and active as far as seeking information and staying in constant contact and communication.
Yeah.
Having some uncomfortable conversations even.
Yeah. I mean, when I said protest earlier, that's what I was talking about. I don't see any groups of people, particularly African-Americans, coming out to make that point like they did over last summer. I don't see nobody pushing no doors and making no noise, beating no drums, shouting and screaming and what have you with torches and what have you. I don't see nobody making no fuss about it. When it seems to me that's perhaps one of the most important things we need to be concerned about. Because what's going to happen oftentimes, particularly for young black males, will make the difference between the brave and the prison system when they reach a certain age. And there's data out there to support that. I don't want to scare nobody, but there's data out there. There's a correlation between school dropout and incarceration.
Wow.
And early dementia. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, and I see it very clearly. Right. I mean, if a child dropped out of school or a young person, what other opportunities do they have? I mean, now it takes an associate's degree. We're not even going to talk about a darn GED or a high school diploma.
Right.
I mean, so, right, what can they do other than but resort to, there's a lot they can do, but what do they feel they can do?
Yes. Yeah. That's
correct. Yeah, I see the correlation. I do.
And it seems to me that that's where our focus, our energy, if you're going to be frustrated about, that's what it drives you to be. That's what it drives you to be. I've had many conversations with people about my intent to and my drive to sustain the school model that, you know, I proffered. And I wanted to be very clear. It's not about liking or disliking anybody. It's about what's best for our children, particularly at risk male. You know, if we don't do it, who's going to do it for us? Now, the challenge is in educating and empowering parents to be the primary arbiters of that campaign, you know, that push. They have to be the ones, and they got the right. They got the authority. They're the ones who have the right to be the custodial authority over their child, over their children, and everything that's available to them. That's our challenge, though. That's our challenge, though. But, yeah, you listen to Talk Straight. It's open mic. We got about another 10 minutes or so before we get out of here. It's open mic, and we've been talking a little bit around Robin here. Different things, and there are a lot of things going on, people, and folk are in corners, and good people now. I've seen family members fall out with one another over some of these discussions in the last 12 months or better, and it's that one family member look at one particular news, and the other look at another news source, but they're all against one another because they're angry about what's going on. And, at the end of the day, what we need to be clear about is what's important to us, you know. And it, in my view, our babies matter more than the rest of us. So there you go. There you go. Well, 72?
Uh-huh.
When I come down there, is any restaurants we can go to eat?
Any what?
Restaurants we can go to eat. Down there.
There's plenty of restaurants, honey. Right. Huh? These people ain't letting us get in the way of their money this time.
then that's good.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't going to be sitting at the curb, are you?
Totally different. Now, ain't no curb side here. I mean, they're trying to keep it
they
open.
They wide
yeah.
open. What
but
kind of St. Louis? Open, St. Louis? Are the restaurants open?
I don't know. I ain't been to St. Louis in some time. I'd probably go back up there maybe in a week or so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know they're open here. They're open here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's some talk about the council wanting to vote some more mandates, and quickly that got shot to the curb.
I don't understand what the big deal is. If the argument is freedom and liberty and wanting to do what you okay,
right.
Just do whatever is that's gonna be appealing to everybody.
Well,
I mean,
some people have decided 72, here's the thing. Some people have decided that they're not as concerned as the media wants them to be about those health crises that they're
Well, I don't think it's just the media, bro. I mean, you got to look at stats. And, okay.
Well, and I say, let me say that I'm one who have been following the what's been published anyway, and what I
and I'm one that's working in it every day and see firsthand. But okay,
let me just make this point: what is being published, it keeps shifting from one moment to the next. That makes it all unreliable because it's not consistent. That is the challenge that I have with what is being said. And again, if you are a conscientious, objective person and you can look for yourself, you understand what I'm saying? Even with my doctor person for years, I've always told him that I'm going to research any medication you recommend for me, any treatment.
Sure.
I'm going to make sure I'm aware of what the data says about it. So you and I can have
I agree with you. And the data, like you were just suggesting about the media playing it and this and that, is the data. But again, when you have an open view into a subject or a picture or a movie or whatever for yourself, then you should take that. And sometimes the data may not try to go to help influence, or it may try to help go and influence. But again, you need to look for yourself and see, and me doing that, being directly like slap dab in the middle, I see what it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, so maybe all the little cases is not going to all the media cases, which could equal to 15,000 or whatever, but it's a vast, large amount. For the small area that I'm in, so I'm going to do, I need to be cautious, and I need to be aware because this is where I am, and this is where the majority, do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I know that those numbers add up to give them a great story and this and that, but again, for where you are, and you need to be concerned about how you as an individual are going to be impacted for where you are.
And I would agree with you that any loss of life is too many. I think that you said that anybody that passed is too many. So absolutely, we definitely want to look out for that. That no question about it. And as I said, that's something that I do in my many roles and hats is I try to keep one available with me for those that are most comfortable with that or those circumstances. So, but I get what you said.
Funny story. I was just looking at some video because I was bored the other day, a documentary on Suge Knight and Tupac, who killed them and this and that. But, you know, whether you love Biggie, and then they say you can't love one and love the other.
What?
So either you're a Biggie fan or you're a Tupac fan. Personally, I think Tupac was a poet. He should have just been led on a different path. But anyway, you know, again, it was all senseless on both sides. All could have been prevented.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we should not be supporting and condoning and uplifting this, making their deaths be glorified when they were senseless killing.
Yeah.
And things that should not have happened, you know.
Sure.
They
were friends at one point.
So.
You can blame Def Jam Records for a lot of that, for creating
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, that's another combo. But, yeah, I'm just saying the point is we need to get to the point and stick to the point. And, therefore, then maybe we can be healed and we can move on and progress and grow.
I like that. Well said. Okay. Well, let me get we'll take that as your final thought. Let me see what St. Louis got to say. We got about four and a half minutes.
Any
final thoughts you want to leave with
us
before we cut out of here?
No, I'm about. Oh, shout out.
Well, we appreciate you for joining us tonight, as well as 72 there. Appreciate you guys. Our show is going to be short tonight, but thank you guys, and we'll be back Thursday. We'll be back Thursday for another episode of Talk Straight there. We appreciate you guys, and
We'll look forward to seeing you all on Thursday. And we're going to let Baby Huey, this singer, rock singer from the 70s, who died, I think he was about in his 20s, from a drug-related heart attack, sadly enough. The brother just is rough, man. It's rough. But nonetheless, he says that a change is going to come. We'll see y'all Thursday for another episode of Talk.
By the river.
What were you born here with?
In a little tent.
Mm.
Oh, just like the river's been running.
You too, huh? You too, huh?
Everything. I've been running every season.
We'll see y'all first for another episode.
It's
stuff.
Been a long day. A long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come.